This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Ocean of Compassion, A Guide to the Life of Universal Loving. And the author is Tenzin Norbu, and Tenzin joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Westbow Press. Hello, Tenzin.
Hello, Steve. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, but I think after this discussion, I'm going to be totally focused on this life of universal loving. As we have discussed before we started doing the recorded interview, that's the answer to all of the problems of the world, universal loving. But let's get into just to kind of set the stage for everyone. I'm going to read a couple of things you've written about your book, Ocean of Compassion. You say, it provides inspirational guidance for the cultivation of the essential virtues necessary to live a life whose purpose is to overcome our mistaken ways of acting and thinking and become a Buddha for the benefit of it all. So this is a focus on this way of life, Buddhism as it's called, and we're going to hear some other terms that we may not be familiar with, aspects of Buddhism. But first of all, Tenzin, tell us about yourself, your professional background, and how you got interested in Buddhism, and why you wrote the book.
Well, I graduated from college back in the early 70s. And, you know, during that time, quite a few of us had to be sent off and join the military. And so I joined the Air Force at that time, and I started flying in the back seat of the fighter at that time, the F-4 Phantom. And I'd been flying in that for a few years when I got a call from the Air Force Academy to ask me if I would be interested in teaching there. And the reason why they contacted me was that I have an undergraduate degree in philosophy, and there aren't a huge number of people in the Air Force who have that type of degree. So that sort of was a lucky break for me, and they sponsored me first for my master's degree and then my PhD, and so I taught at the Air Force Academy for a number of years, teaching the basic introductory ethics course that they have. When I eventually retired from the Air Force in 96, I started teaching at the University of Colorado at Colorado Springs. And one of the great advantages of teaching in a university is that you have the opportunity to turn your interests in directions that may interest you. And my wife had suggested that people were doing meditation classes, and that a lot of people were reporting that they would feel calmer and happier as a result of meditation, so that she thought we should try this, which we did. And it was taught by a local teacher who also happened to be an expert in a particular form of Buddhism. And so teaching and having experienced some of the benefits of meditation, I decided that I wanted to do some research and perhaps teach an introductory course or two in Buddhism. And so I started teaching it, and I found the philosophy fascinating. And so I continued studying it more and more, and until I eventually decided that this religion was helping me. It was working for me. So I then took what's called refuge ceremony, which is kind of like being baptized in Christianity, in which one, you know, declares that you're officially a Buddhist. And so I've continued to study and develop in my understanding of this. And eventually I came to the point where I thought, okay, I understand this well enough. I think I can both help myself develop more by writing a book, and I could also help others by sharing what I've learned in a book. So that's how I got to where I am right now, Steve.
Well, there's a term that is new to me. Of course, I don't know a whole lot about Buddhism, but I do understand some of the virtues of it. But Bodhisattva. Now, tell us about the importance of that.
Steve, a bodhisattva is someone who, first of all, has cultivated universal love and compassion. Every religion teaches that we need to cultivate love. Jesus said we need to love our neighbors as ourselves. In Buddhism, first of all, you want to cultivate this love. And the reason why you want to cultivate it is because you want to become a Buddha, and as a Buddha, then you have the capacity to help all other beings overcome their suffering. A Buddha is someone who has simply developed the highest capacity of loving and the ability to teach and lead other people. So a Buddha isn't somebody who's like a god separate. It's simply the peak of human development as Buddhism understands it. And so a bodhisattva, out of universal love and compassion, wants to achieve that peak of development where suffering is completely overcome and lead other people to that state.
How does one cultivate the capacity to love everyone equally, like you're pointing out? Christians probably have heard the term, love your neighbor as yourself.
Well, in Buddhism, there are two different techniques, and both of them take place in a practice in which you both engage in meditation, in which you develop thoughts and feelings based upon meditation. And then after having developed some of these thoughts and strengthened them by focusing your mind on these thoughts, what you do is you then start to act out through that. And so you've got a process in which you're meditating to develop feelings and thoughts, and you're then acting, bringing to mind these feelings and thoughts. And this process over time develops and strengthens this. And there are two basic types of meditational thoughts that Buddhists use to develop this. One is called exchanging self with others. And the basic underlying concept of that is you develop a commonality, a feeling of commonness, a feeling of bond with other people. And we just simply naturally feel compassion for and want to help people that we feel a bond with. Even something as simple as meeting somebody in the airport who is a fan of the same sports team you are. A person who was just a moment ago a mere stranger that you had no concern for can be someone that you immediately feel a connection and a desire to help them just because you recognize that you're a fellow sports team member. And in Buddhism, we focus on the fact that human beings all suffer. And furthermore, in Buddhism, we believe that true and lasting happiness doesn't come from possessing things, but it simply comes in the form of a mind in which you love and are connected with others. And so we all can share true and lasting happiness. We aren't in competition for it. And so we can develop that bond with one another simply by recognizing that we're the same. And when we recognize we're the same that way, the feelings of love naturally arise. And so it's this process of meditating and thinking about the things that make it reasonable to love everyone, and then putting that into practice in your daily life. And this process eventually leads to this state that Jesus wants us all to come to, in which we do love our neighbors as ourselves.
What insights do you think a Buddhist such as yourself has to offer to Christians, Jews, Muslims, and, people of other faiths?
Well, of course, first of all the religions do teach that we should have this love. So at the very least, Buddhism offers methods for developing what the other religions say we need to have. The other religions don't tend to focus on technique for how to actually cultivate these states of mind. They teach you should be like this, but they don't teach how you become like this. So these techniques can be practiced by other religions, without adopting all the Buddhist worldview. And secondly, there is a growing trend within religions. Judaism, it's becoming more and more a part of a new trend, is to work toward what traditionally has been called kind of like a mystical union with God. And what one way of putting what Buddhism calls enlightenment, if we put this into monotheistic Christian Jewish Islamic terms, the problem within those religions is that we suffer from a separation from God, in which we are simply locked into our world of seeing ourselves as separate from others and not even perceiving God. And a mystic is attempting to overcome that separation by developing a mystical union with God. One way of understanding in Christian, Islamic, and Jewish terms, the state of enlightenment, is to understand that we see ourselves separate from others, separate from God, and in fact, we don't even perceive ourselves as in connection with God. We may feel a prayerful connection with God. We may feel ourselves under the discipleship of Jesus, but we don't actually perceive ourselves as connected to God. And in enlightenment, the process eventually leads to the point where this appearance of separateness dissolves. This is described in Jewish mystics from the past and Christian mystics from the past. And so we know there is this state of mind in which we overcome our feeling of separateness and we feel a union with God. And Buddhism teaches those techniques. They don't call it union with God. They call it enlightenment. But as it's been described by mystics, as it's been described by Buddhists, it's the same. And the techniques that Buddhists use are very similar to those which were taught by great mystics, like Master Eckhart, for instance.
Let me ask a question about how different your book is. You say there's no other book on the market like it, and because this is a modern poetic guide. Now, tell us a little bit about your poetry. We have we've got about 3 minutes left in this interview.
All right. Well, my poetry starts with a first chapter on how to cultivate this desire to become a Buddha for the benefit of all. And it includes inspirational rhyming verse poetry that teaches the techniques that you can use to develop this mind. And so I have used them and still do use them as starting points in meditation to get me to the thoughts and feelings I'm trying to develop this mind of love. And then it includes chapters on the six perfections, which are the ones that you develop in order to become a Buddha or in order to achieve this mystical union with God. And those are effort, which is joyful practice, and there's patience, there's generosity, there's moral discipline, there's concentration, which is developing a mind in which you can focus it clearly on an object of meditation, and the last is wisdom, which teaches the reasoning processes one can use to overcome this separation from God or to reach enlightenment, as Buddhists put it. And so it's a step-by-step guide in easy-to-remember inspirational poetry to actually help you develop these virtues that will bring you the true and lasting happiness that we all really want.
So some poetry and then a narrative discussion around them, philosophical arguments around these moments of poetry.
The introduction is all in prose, and it explains a bit of what's going on in terms of the philosophical arguments and how the poetry can be used. But the narrative actually takes place in the last chapter. And it's kind of a fun chapter because I have the the great enlightenment, Immanuel Kant, coming back as a reborn young woman who I call Emanuela, or Ella for short. And Ella is in an adventure in which she watches movies and goes to a coffee shop afterwards and discusses it. And she is eventually brought to enlightenment at the end of the chapter as a result of a discussion's taking. So the last chapter changes simply from inspirational poetry to sort of a story in which the arguments that lead to enlightenment are presented.
We've been talking to Tenzin Norbu. He is the author of his book, Ocean of Compassion, A Guide to the Life of Universal Loving. Tenzin, tell us how to get your book.
It's actually available on all the typical online retailers. BarnesandNoble.com has the best price. You can also get it from Amazon and at my bookstore.westbowpress.com.
Thank you, Tenzin, for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Oh, thank you, Steve. My pleasure.
This interview has been brought to everyone by Westbow Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Get ready to live La Bella Vita with Dawn Catherine on TogiNet.com. Live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita. For more on the show and your host, check out our website, LaBellaVitaCosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
Mark Lipinski is coming to TogiNet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, a live two-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Snatches of Brilliance, Words of Love, Light, and Extreme Wisdom for the Sole Purpose of Teaching Hope, Love, and Peace, Emanating from God's Words. And the author is Carol M. Day, and Carol joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Carol.
Hello, Steve.
Well, great to have you with us all the way from Spain. It's just like you're right in the same room with us.
I'm delighted to be talking to you.
Well, let's read a couple things that you have written about your book. You say, I have been given such beautiful words from an awesome being from another world. I need to put them into print for everyone to see. And then you also say, do you believe there is a life after this one is finished, or is it the end of all? Do we have a home in heaven, world of spirit, waiting for us after these trials we have been given to complete on earth are over? I know there is a life after this one is finished. So, Snatches of Brilliance. What was the motivation, the inspiration, Carol?
I've always believed that there was something else. And it wasn't until standing at the end of my bed one evening, and I'm going back maybe 10 years, that there was this being, and it was so real to me, and he stood at the end of the bed, and I just said to him, I said, hello, what are you doing here? And I knew him, although I wasn't meant to remember that I knew him. And I think that that was my first experience that was going to help me to make my life's journey regarding reading and making this book. And so I then started to go to spiritualist church and to a circle where they teach you how to be a medium. But I didn't ever make it to being a medium. I don't think that was quite me. But then my teacher once said to me, just go home, Carol. And she said, pick up your pen and paper and just ask your guardian angel, who is Archangel Michael, to give me some words. And that's exactly what I did. And although I didn't know what I was writing about, my pen was taking in everything that I was being given in my brain. And then I would go through into the sitting room and my husband would say, have you got something, Carol? And I'd say, yes, I have. He'd say, what is it? I say, I don't know until I actually go and type it out. And they tended to be the most beautiful, beautiful words. And I kept doing that and kept doing that. And until in the end, I had about 200 pages that I was able to put into different sections. And I just knew that this should go to many, many other people throughout the world. And so that's when I put it forward to being a book. And it's the most beautiful book, I think. You need really to know me, because, you know, I am trustworthy and I'm me. And anybody that does know me knows that I don't fib, and I couldn't do that. So it is a real truth, the book, and it just takes really for others to look at it and to think, well, is she right and could it be? Just to set people's minds going to thinking about this. And that is my hope for Snatches of Brilliance.
You say that the questions that you asked Archangel Michael to answer in the book are simple questions that you would like to know the answers to yourself.
That's exactly right. What is God like, for instance? What are angels like? What is an angel? And tell me about the realms of light. Your guide is always with you. Who is your guide and where does your guide come from? And beautiful prayers that I was given. And so I put the prayers hither and thither through the book, so that it didn't become, you know, quite boring to somebody thinking they were going to get pages of prayers all in the same section. So, you know, I even had a lovely message from a dear angel called Ismelda. And she said that she was an angel struggling to do her part, giving the right words for us to accept with open arms, and that she wanted to give something worthy of the book. So, you know, I accepted these words and I typed them out, and they're just all such lovely things, such things to read and to make up your mind as to whether people actually believe them or not. And if they 100% don't believe them, that little tiny little bit of belief is just enough to know that it could set people on their way to knowing wonderful things about another world.
So tell us about this angelic realm.
The angelic realm, of course, as it sounds, is where the angels actually belong. And that's where you say, well, what is an angel? Well, an angel is a divine being whose purpose it is to protect our Father and to carry out his wishes from the divine source of love and beneficial observations given to us all to take notice of and follow without hesitation. Nobody, myself or anyone on this earth plane, is able to go to the angelic realm, because there is just so much energy there that it is impossible for us to actually explain that. But this is what the wonderful thing of snatches of brilliance, because just snatches of brilliance. I was actually given that word from the other world, that title, and it means such a lot of sense, because what is an angel, and where does an angel come from, and what does an angel do? And that people would think this, and so that answer is in the book. And what is God like? That is another question that you think, well, you know, what is he like? Well, he's a loving God and a purposeful God. He's a genius amongst men, a powerful force, a gigantic energy. You know, it's just really so wonderful. I get so excited. Maybe you can hear that in my voice. I get so excited about knowing that I've been given these words. He's seen as a pure, sparkling light, and his brilliance cannot be imagined. You know, are you able to take that in, really? But maybe just by reading the book is a wonderful thing.
Now, one of your chapters called Messages from Heaven, you have a number of different named angels. Some of them seem familiar, like Peter or Joseph.
Yes, some of them don't have. We know of them. That doesn't mean that it's Joseph, which is Jesus's father, or anything like that.
Okay.
These are just different people that are in the world of spirit. There are all different sorts of names. There are many names.
So they came with a message. They came with a different message, like you talked about Esmelda, and then there's, of course, David and Joseph and Josiah and little Katie and Peter and Roger.
Well, that's another thing. Now, you get me going on all of this, because to me it's just so wonderful, is that in the book, in Snatches of Brilliance, and where I've asked Archangel Michael for different words to tell me how I am doing, it actually says there about how there are so many people that are more or less lining up to actually have their stories, their words, put into print to go around this earth to help people, to help them to think and to help them how they, you know, how they believe. And so it's so nice. I've started another book. In fact, I've started two other books. But another one is similar to Snatches of Brilliance. And that is the thing I've got to be so careful of, that, you know, things are not getting too much of a muchness. But there are many, many spirits or souls or people in the world of spirit that are lining up, really, to wanting to have their words put down into book form. And this is why you're getting these names, but really that is only a few of the amount that there are that need to be put into print.
Now, who are these angels, or what is an angel?
Right. What is an angel? That is where it says, I did ask, what is an angel? And that is where it said, an angel is a beautiful energy of extreme strength, of complete love. His energy once given to us to be used in his light of unimaginable brilliance, lending this to our soul, which is only permitted by God if the receiver is respectful or mindful of the greatness of these wonderful great beings. Now, God made angels himself, well, he made us all, but he made angels to actually do his bidding and to look after him. And you actually hear, if you read other books, that, you know, if you really, really are in need of help, so much so on this earth plane, that you ask, then there are stories of angels actually coming to you to help you. And it's an angel's love is beyond doubt the strongest of divine feelings, giving off a light as that of a beacon searching for a reason to save souls with that brilliant light a light with flame lit by God for an angel to carry forth a banner of extreme light. Now, I am reading that, actually, from one of the little papers that comes out of Snatches of Brilliance. The name Snatches of Brilliance is another lovely thing for me, is going through and doing this book. The day before I pressed the button to say that I will actually publish it, I went on the internet to look up the original title of the book, and there was that same title. And I thought, oh my goodness, I've got to get another title. I haven't got a title for my book. So I went to bed and I asked Archangel Michael for him to please let me have words, a title for the book by the next day. And at about 2:30 in the morning, I was woken up with the words, Snatches of Brilliance. And I thought in my half state, oh, well, that's good. Oh, thank you so very much. And I wasn't allowed to go back to sleep until I went and wrote the words down, Snatches of Brilliance. And so it was given to me, and that is the reason for the title of the book. It's all from the angelic realms and all to do with what I've been given to make this book, hopefully, a successful book, if people will just know the truth and just to read it. That's all I ask.
What kind of a role does Jesus Christ play in your book?
He is very, very important. But what I didn't want to do was to actually make this your normal religious book or your Bible-like book, because you can tend to frighten people off by keep sort of mentioning Jesus and Jesus this and Jesus that. But there is a little chapter to do with Jesus and what Jesus is like and what he said. And so Jesus is very, very important, but I just needed to put a little bit of everything in the book so that people could get the feel of everything that it contained. So Jesus is very, very important, but then so it all is. So is God, because this really has been given by God to Archangel Michael, who is my guardian angel and my guide, to be brought through and to be put through the world, throughout the world if possible. Because all I would like to do, as far as selling the book, is I would like to recoup the money that I've outlaid, and then any other monies that is made from the book, I would then like it to go to good causes. To causes of people that are needing money for food, for water, people that are poor or grieving, whatever. And so that is the reason. So if I could say, right, well, let's print 1 million books and let's send the book all around the world, well, that would be the most wonderful, wonderful thing that could happen. But, of course, that isn't going to happen, so we're going to start in a small way, really, and just see what we can do.
We're talking with Carol M. Day. She is the author of her book, Snatches of Brilliance, Words of Love, Light, and Extreme Wisdom for the Sole Purpose of Teaching Hope, Love, and Peace, Emanating from God's Words. Carol, tell us how to get your book.
Well, Balboa Press. Is the place to get the book from. And I know also that, you can get it off the internet from Amazon Books and places like that. So you can get it in the normal ways, but it's Balboa Press that have actually brought me through all of this, which, I'm delighted with. And so Balboa Press and the normal outlets of books.
Carol, thanks so much for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm just so delighted that you've let me tell you about my book.
And this interview is brought to everyone by Balboa Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Want to be challenged in a powerful way to leap beyond what you think is possible?
Then join us Mondays for the Leah Jansen Show, every Monday at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com with Leah Jansen. Listen live as life coach Leah uses her coaching skills to give you the tools you need to take action and create momentum. You are encouraged to call in and share your greatest fears, challenges, and obstacles. And then listen as Leah obliterates those barriers to success. For more on Leah and the show, check out her website, LeahJansen.com. That's Leah, LeahJansen.com. Spend 1 hour with Leah, and you'll be captivated by her energy, enthusiasm, and magnetism. You'll quickly become addicted to her positive attitude and make-it-happen mentality. Ready for a life-changing, mood-altering show? Then get ready for Leah Jansen. And listen live to The Leah Jansen Show every Monday morning at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
People think I've made it. I'm popular. I seem happy all the time. I have great clothes and I'm involved in everything. But I have questions, doubts, and fears, just like every other teenager. That's why I'm glad for Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com.
The choices we have to make that can alter the course of our lives. Life is too much pressure if we try to go it alone. I tune in to Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell every week to get reminded that I'm not alone. Nicole Odell is an expert on what happens in the lives of teenagers. Join her as she deals with topics like peer pressure, purity, drugs, alcohol, and many other things that might come up along the way. She writes books and speaks to people all over the place, but she says her favorite moments are when she can pull up a chair and chat with teens about what's important to us.
For more information on Nicole and her books, go to NicoleOdell.com. Then join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com.
Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Brainstorm, A Journey of Faith Through Brain Injury. And the authors are Laura and Bruce Allen, and they join us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Westbow Press. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Steve.
Hello, Bruce.
Hello, Steve.
Congratulations, first of all, on publishing this very, very important book to help others to learn, maybe I don't know if learn's the right word, but at least to get a kind of a roadmap of what Bruce has been through as the brain injured and also Laura as the caregiver. I guess, first of all, let me just read a couple things that you've written about your book so everyone kind of gets an overview. 4 years ago, Bruce Allen had 3 brain surgeries through which he lost his eyesight, his speech, his executive functions, and the use of his right side. After 50 weeks of rehabilitation with Shepherd Center, he has regained most of these abilities. At the time, there was very little available as the caregiver to read, to gain information, insight, and encouragement. We wrote the book to hopefully fill the gap. I don't think we can thank you enough, because it takes not only going through it all, but then to kind of relive it, writing the book. Laura, we'll start with you. Did you just feel God's hand in this?
Well, when it all started, just like the name of the book, Brainstorm, it was a storm that took us totally by surprise, but it didn't take God by surprise. He knows what's going to happen with you and is there to meet the need. And so, yes, it was a shock when this happened. Bruce had horrible headaches on one day, and about 4 days later they were cutting into his brain, thinking they were malignant brain tumors, that he had 2 of them. And then we learned that they were abscesses instead that could be drained and dealt with antibiotics. But he still had damage to the brain and still had to go through all the rehab. So, you know, at the very beginning, you're so caught up in shock that you really don't know what to think. And then the night after surgery, I just came home and sat in my chair and wept and said, God, I can't do this, and I can't do this by myself. And the Lord, just in a very unique way that I explain in the book, told me that he was going to take care of it if I just hold on to his hand really tight and just go through each step with him. And that gave me such a peace and assurance that as we went through each step of him losing his eyesight and all that, it never crossed my mind, really, that, you know, well, what if? What if he doesn't get his eyesight back? What if he doesn't walk? It was just a matter of holding on to God's hand and seeing what he did in each instant.
Bruce, you are a pastor, a writer, and an evangelist. You've worked with John Maxwell's Enjoy Stewardship Services, before your brain injury, a senior consultant. When this first happened, how did you deal with it? Obviously, never expected a change in life like this, a new ministry.
Absolutely. It was a total shock. Steve, actually, I went in for some minor surgery, hemorrhoid surgery, and ended up having brain surgery. It's hard to explain how all that happened, but an abscess went from my rear end to my brain. And
an infection,
and I always thought that my brains were in the other end, but it's been kind of a funny joke with some of our peer group people. But, yeah, that's exactly what happened, and we ended up, I came home one day and started having these headaches, and before I knew it, I called Laura, and I said, I don't know what's going on, but I can't think of how to get dressed today. I've got some terrible headaches, and I can't remember how to put on my belt or my shoes or anything. I said, something's wrong. And so, of course, she came home immediately, and we went to the doctor's office and did this brain scan, and that's when we found out about what we thought were two tumors. It turned out to be two abscesses. So it's radically changed our lives in every way. From what we're doing now with our time, to how the brain injury occurred, and really just getting more involved with brain injuries and finding out what other people are learning in their pathway.
Now, you had 50 weeks of rehabilitation, and you say this remarkable statement, this has been the best year of my life.
I said it wasn't my best year.
No, it wasn't. It certainly wasn't Laura's best year, but I the reason I would say that is because it really, brain surgery has a way of refocusing your life so that you can say, I know this is what is the most important thing for me. And so I used to be on an airplane 4 or 5 days a week, flying in and out of cities, going to many churches, and doing leadership training and stewardship financial training. But what I discovered is really through this that there's more important things than just sitting on a computer all day or getting on a plane or speaking to a large group. To me, it's really laser-focused my life to a point where I'm much more at peace now, much more happy. It's really changed my not only my direction of my life, but my personality through this brain injury has changed as well. Most of us call it the new normal, of brain injury. You're never exactly the same. But sometimes it can also even be better.
Laura, this is not a medical book. It's a memoir.
Right.
There's a lot written probably about brain injuries. What makes yours different?
Well, when this all happened to us, I'm a person who likes to study and research and find out what in the world's going on. I like to solve problems. You know, well, this is not something you can fix. And that you can fix right away. It's a long process. And I asked our brain surgeon, how long is this going to take before he gets back to normal? And he said, it takes as long as it takes. And said, everyone is different. And patience was not one of my virtues. So I was not happy with that answer. But I started looking, and there was very little to read to tell me where we were headed, what we were getting into, what to expect, and then I had no resources. I didn't know who to turn to on the internet or what books to read. And so after our experience got us 2 years or so down the road, we started talking with Shepherd Center about the possibility of leading a family support group on Saturdays to support the caregivers of people who are patients in the hospital at that moment. And so we do that on Saturdays and have been now for 2 years. But we found that these caregivers, are in the same situation I was. They're in shock, and they just want some encouragement and somebody to tell them there is life after brain injury. So that's what brought us to writing the book, and it's been a wonderful experience of working with other brain injury survivors and encouraging them.
Bruce, something catastrophic can happen to anyone at any time, anywhere.
Absolutely. You know, brain injury is no respecter of persons. I mean, Gabby Gifford, for instance, got shot in Arizona just about a year ago. And, of course, most people know her as a congresswoman. But she is also in recovery. And we also wrote the book for people like her and her husband to be able to say, we've been there. We're 4 years down the road. There are others who are further down the road than us. One of the interesting things about our story was that before I went to Shepherd's, our daughter was finishing up nursing school over here at Kennesstone University near our house in Marietta, Georgia. And she went for a job interview at Shepherd's Rehab Center, and they hired her on the brain injury floor at Shepherd's Center here in Atlanta, right next to Piedmont Hospital. A lot of people may not know about Shepherd's, but it's one of the most preeminent brain and spinal cord injury places in America. So my daughter got a job there, her first job right out of nursing school, and 3 months later, I was on her floor as a patient.
My goodness.
So it was really, you know, you look at that in hindsight, and you see God's hand and how he provided a way, even for my own daughter, to be there with me as a nurse.
Right.
Of course, they wouldn't let her actually be my nurse, but she could be there every night
sure.
with me.
Well, Laura, as you state, one of the themes in the book, it is not as important what happens to you as it is how you handle it, move through it, and adapt to it afterwards to live a meaningful life. That really sums up this journey.
It really does. Flexibility is the key word, and adaptability even more so in the area of brain injury, because your whole life is turned upside down. And, you know, a brain injury doesn't just happen to the person. It happens to their family. It happens to everybody that's around them, because it involves a lot of people to help them and to get them moving on down the road. And it can be easy for brain injury survivors to just say life is not worth living. This just is not the kind of life I envisioned for myself. But we have learned that as you work your way through it, and as I said, holding God's hand all the way and seeing his actions through it, then when you come out on the other side, then you adapt. That was one of the scariest things, was coming home from the hospital, because we had to adapt everything. He could not stand in the shower. He couldn't feed himself. He couldn't do a lot of things. And so we had to adapt our home to be able to bring him home. And then as he progressed through rehab, then he got some of those faculties back. And so adapting and then moving on through to find out there is life after brain injury. And it can be a good life. Wouldn't you say, Bruce?
Yes, absolutely. The rehab has been phenomenal at Shepherd Center and at Pathways. I really tell those people, you saved my life, because I don't know what kind of quality of life I would have had otherwise. I had significant damage to the left side of the brain. Therefore, that affects the right side of your abilities to walk. Also, not only walking, but talking and everything on the right side. I could not move my right leg for a long time, couldn't move my right arm, had no use of it at all. It was completely dead. And then over a period of time and a lot of rehab, those things began to come back. I still hold my right hand up in the air sometimes, and Laura will say to me, what are you doing? Are you voting? And I say, no, I'm just not aware of where my right arm is. It's called right side neglect. And so we've seen a lot of weird things from brain injuries.
Right.
Like that, I say weird. It's just the new normal. We had one buddy that is an airline pilot. His name's Scott. He got beaten up one night. A robber had entered his house while he was gone on a trip. He came home. The guy beat him up, pistol whipped him, and left him for dead, wrapped him up in a piece of cellophane plastic, and robbed him and left him for dead. Well, Scott was able to, after he came to, find himself a way to get out of that plastic wrapping and crawled up to the main highway road, and somebody hailed a policeman for him eventually. But he and I were in therapy together at Shepherd's and Pathways, became great friends through this, and now he goes to Shepherd's with me sometimes and tells his story about how he was beaten up and left for dead.
Wow.
So just all kinds of interesting stories. I met a guy who was kite surfing in Bermuda, and you wouldn't think you'd get a brain injury from kite surfing, but I said, "What happened?" And he said, I hit the pier." And, you know, it sounds funny, but boy, he had a long time of recovery. Most brain injury recovery takes about a year or more.
Well, your book includes 9 brief stories of other brain injury survivors. It also has an appendices, which you cover Care for the Caregiver, Top 10 Tips for Caregivers, Anger, Frustration, Anxiety, A Day in the Life of the Brain Injured, Traumatic Brain Injury Facts. This book is packed with all kinds of great information for those who are going through this incredible journey. Well, Laura, tell us how to get your book.
Well, you can go to our website, which is brainstormallen.com. And on there are links that can take you to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com or to Westbow Press, and where you can purchase the book either in, you know, an e-book, paperback, hardback. So the website there can tell you all you need to know.
Well, we thank you very much. Thank you, Bruce, for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Steve.
And thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Steve, for having us.
We've been talking with Laura and Bruce Allen. They're the authors of their book, Brainstorm, A Journey of Faith Through Brain Injury. And this interview has been brought to everyone by Westbow Press.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.